Hello and welcome to the Fishing Guide Podcast. I'm your host, Brad Weekman. Co-host, Mitch Glenn, in-house. Yo, so excited.
Recovering bass fisherman.
That's right. Always good to have in-house. And of course, got to say the church man is here. That's right. Always here, aren't you?
Yeah.
Seems
yeah.
like you're always on this
frequent
show.
Flyer at this point.
Jason is, for sure. Anyway, the reason why we have these two guys on the show, Mitch, of course, is required to be here by law.
Yeah, but, that's what they said when they took the handcuffs off.
These two guys actually are playing a part of what's happening here with the crappie cartel and them coming in and trolling, and it all builds into the Pico, unless, you know, the Pico and then the church planter board. So why not, you know, like peanut butter and jelly, find out how you guys put these together and how, like you would explain, how one works with the other. So we'll start out with Mitch, because actually Les started with the crankbaits first and he was trolling them. So tell a little bit about you and Les getting hooked up.
Nice to be manipulated by the cartel, isn't it?
Well, I mean,
it's for your own good.
Yeah, that's right. That's
what they say. In general, Les started with your crankbaits.
So, Les is the godfather of power trolling, basically. And he started using these crankbaits, and he adapted his power trolling methods into using a planer board with crankbait. So what we've done in the past is to use these planer boards to get them out further away from the boat and everything. He's come up with a method to use the planer board to pinpoint that bait out away from the boat directly to the fish without near as much line hassle and everything.
How did Les come up using your crankbaits? Did he call you up? What was the connection? Was it Batesville?
There's a store down here, 15 miles down the road, Batesville, and Crappie Depot. Yeah, yep. That's the name of it. And he was going down there and bought some of these baits, started using them. And, voila, here's a bait that runs deeper than anything else out there, faster, gets deeper faster. And it's the way it's designed and made, it doesn't have to be tuned.
Yep.
It's right size, right action. This bait is more of a narrower action than a lot of other baits on the market, which, in my opinion, bait fish in the summer have got a tighter wobble because they're a little more hyped up in warmer water than they are in the wintertime when they're wobbling around and everything. So this all just kind of came together. I feel like a higher power's put a lot of things in my life that, that I didn't ask for, and it just showed up, and Les being one of them. So he's started using these baits, and he's called up, and now all of a sudden I'm seeing orders by the truckloads coming to this general area down here for the same thing over and over and over and over and over again. And I guess Crappie Depot couldn't keep up. He calls me on the phone. He's like, hey, you think I can get some of these baits? And I'm like, so you're the one. You know? And when all of this power troll, this just, the planer board deal just made it even. It just set it on fire.
Yep. And so thus, all of a sudden, church tackle, Jim comes down.
Yep.
Kind of, explain that story in a nutshell.
So just a real quick kind of background on that. Jim was a walleye fisherman from the Great Lakes. Jim kind of saw how things set up down here. He'd been saying it for probably 2 years.
Right.
He'd been talking to me, and he said, this stuff will work. I just got to get the chance, but this will work. The crappie set up a lot of times out over the basin in the summer, suspended. This will work. I just got to, I have to have the right time, but this will go.
Uh-huh.
And sure enough, I guess it was 24, I'm going to say. It finally happened, and he got a little attention, and it's kind of exploded from there.
Yeah, and so talk about some of the different products that you sell that Les is using, and Les is using, like, with Mitch's product.
So the TX-12, that's the board itself, the planer board itself, then put a flag system on top of that.
All right.
To show you're really either your small fish or fish after they bite, sometimes they'll start to swim along. You can still see that fish in the flag system. Lockjaw clip on there, mini lockjaw actually on there for holding braid, for holding your line tight. And then the universal clip and the snap weights. That's another pretty key ingredient to it, because as Mitch talked about, to be able to do the same thing with a lot less line out. So you're not letting that bait out 150 feet and hoping it's getting to 8 feet down. you're putting a snap weight just a few feet in front of the bait, and that's getting it down to, say, 12 feet deep with 20 feet of line out, something pretty short, nice and efficient, and you know exactly where it is. It's not just a hope and a guess. You know, we have some guys that it's not getting as deep as I want, so I'm going to let out another 50 feet, and well, hopefully that makes it there. No,
right.
Put that weight on it and get it to right where you want it. And then the last kind of piece that they're using is the stern planers. So stern planers go straight out behind the boat. You're still able to set that depth right where you want it, still get it to that, you know, 10 feet down, whatever you want it, but run it 200 feet behind the boat. Yeah. So a really, really sneaky way to run a crankbait. And then another little piece to the puzzle is our quick snaps. That's what Les ties all of his leaders out of our quick snaps as well. Number six quick snap.
Uh-huh. And they're ball bearing?
Ball bearing swivel. And then the quick snap is there's no actual locking. It just slips in there, but it's a deep enough hook that it doesn't come out. But it's easy on, easy off for either switching baits, changing colors, you know, or at the end of the day, taking a rod down and storing it. The baits come off really easy.
We have to know, have you used the Pico crankbait up north? Because you're a northern boy. Don't forgive him. You're a northern boy. And so have you used some of them?
I haven't.
Well, generally, I think Jim's got some.
We're almost always using stick baits for whatever reason. Yeah.
And
I'm not saying they wouldn't work, and I probably should try them because there's probably the sneaky.
Jim's got a big old box.
There's the sneaky, you know.
I know this for a fact.
Yep. But no, I haven't yet.
They do. Walleyes. I know walleyes. We catch walleyes on Beaver Lake on them constantly.
Yep.
And the pink splatterback is probably one of the better ones to start with and use.
Remember when fish hawk, you couldn't put that in water without
getting it? Yeah, fish hawk was good.
Yeah, you couldn't catch anything but a walleye on that. Yeah.
I've looked at the color palette, and I've said on a couple of them, that'd be a good walleye bait.
42 different colors. So, yeah. And how many boards typically do you run out of your boat? We know that Wes will run 8 rods out the back of his boat.
So usually it's 3 aside per, you know, that's a minimum.
Uh-huh.
I've run as many as 6 aside.
Wow.
That's pretty rare. We'll run 5 somewhat routine, depending on how many guys, 5 per side.
Right.
So,
and so up north, is there a limit, a rod limit?
Three lines per person.
Per person. Through licensed anglers.
Correct.
Not just like...
Correct.
You bring all these people and they don't have licenses.
Correct. No, yeah. And I don't need to run rods that bad. I'm pretty happy fishing with the people I want to fish with. But anyway,
I've seen the videos. You whack them pretty good.
Sometimes, yeah.
Sometimes.
Yeah, not as often as I want, but yeah, sometimes we do well.
So, what do you think? Like the combination of using that together, using the two together, is there something that you would do that? You think that people would make a mistake if they went and bought church planer boards, you got the TX-12s, and they go out there and they bought the weights and they go out there and they're like, now what?
Some of the maybe beginner mistakes that I see is rod position. Generally, the higher your rod tip, the better. It just makes the planer board more efficient. Okay. Where having your rod horizontal, that's going to tip the clip down, and it's going to make the board pull really heavy, make it kind of plow. It's not going to want to pull out to the side good.
Right.
So kind of within reason, the higher the rod tip, the better. Makes the board cut better. And I guess the other one would be, as you get started, keep your rod tip really low as you're reeling the board back in.
Okay.
Of course, everybody wants to have their rod tip really high to fight a fish. It's just what we're all kind of trained at doing, which works great after you take the planer board off. Until that planer board is off, keep your rod tip really low. Reel that board in until it's only 4-5 feet off the rod tip.
Okay.
And pick the rod tip up. The planer board will come with it. Take it off. Then fight the fish as you normally would. Those two things are probably, as people are getting started, stuff I get phone calls on or questions on, and usually that solves a lot of problems right there.
All right. And Mitch, how about on you with the crankbaits? When people call up and they start asking questions about color and how deep they run.
They're always asking more questions about color than depth. The ones that ask depth questions seems like they want to how far you got to let it out to hit 20 foot. Like, why do you want it to hit 20 foot?
Right.
You know, it's May. Why do you want it at 20 feet? you know. Right. Let it out until it drags bottom. You know, that's how far you need to let it out. But they're more interested in colors, and colors has got everything in the world to do with the day that you're on that body of water and what the weather has done to that body of water and what that day is providing you that day. Uh-huh. You know, I mean, it's pretty normal for a routine day to switch from black and green and black and brown and, you know, dark colors and to blue and chrome by noon.
Right.
You know, a total opposite end of the spectrum, just over the fact that it's low light and dirty water and high bright sun and the little dab of wind and the shad come up, and the flashier it is, the harder it gets hit, you know.
Right.
That's what all these colors are for, you know.
Uh-huh. Okay, well, yeah. That takes us back. I have one more question about snap weights. Because snap weights they're available. Mm-hmm. And you have kits. So tell them about snap weights and how do they stay on? Because I expect that you probably get lots of questions on they keep falling off. Or do we get it once in a while?
So our universal clip, as you open it up, if you look between the pads, there's a pin in the center of the pad.
Okay.
The line has to go on the back side of the pin.
All right.
And then that way when you close it, it can't physically pull off the line. That pin is holding it on the line.
Right.
And that's probably the biggest, you know, that's the biggest trick with the universal clips and the snap weights, making sure that line's behind the pin.
Okay.
But we do have a kit. So it's 4 1-ounce, 4 2-ounce, and 2 3-ounce weights and 6 snaps and the split rings for it.
Okay.
I think that kit is $40, I think.
Right.
But that's definitely our cost-effective way to buy snap weights, and it covers what a lot of guys are doing, you know, with snap weights for sure.
And the TX12s come with standard clamps, but you have other clamps.
Yeah, the mini lock jaws, and that's what that's what Les is running, and that's what you'll see a lot of.
I run those.
Yep, they're a very popular upgrade for our TX12s. So the standard clips are black, and the mini lock jaws are yellow.
Okay.
But the hold braid, great clip for mono, fluoro, whatever you're running, but they do hold braid.
Okay. Well, that sounds good. That takes us to Tackle Time. Tackle Time sponsored by Pico Lures. Pico Lures, of course, we just talked about. They have a whole line of crankbaits. And, of course, we're going to encourage Jason to get out there and use some.
Yeah.
Use some of Jim's. He got, like, boxes full of those suckers. But Pico Lures also has a complete line of hard and soft baits for any kind of game fish, from crappie to walleye to... Man, bass, stripers, you name it, whatever there is out there swimming you're trying to catch, they have something for you to use to catch them. Anyway, find them at picolures.com. Also, B&M Pole. B&M Poles make a complete line of lines where you can fish for trout, for crappie, for catfish. They even have a line of saltwater rods, the Sam Super Salties. So they have a pole. If you're going fishing, they have a pole for you. Check them out at bnmpole.com. If they want to find out more, Jason, about you, or find out about that church tackle and maybe find out how to use some of this stuff, where would they go?
Churchtackle.com. And, you know, we have a YouTube channel, Facebook as well. We try to put out a lot of information on our website and on our YouTube as well.
Okay, Mitch.
PicoLures.com.
There you
go. PicoLures all over the social media world.
Yep, that's right. Yep. I know they are because I post all the time.
I know you do.
So
we're out there everywhere.
That's where you can find that information. Anyway, you have one last thing to say? Look like you did.
Get out there and get fishing.
There you go. There you have it. Like I always like to end the show, make sure you keep your hook sharp, your lures in the water.